You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 337 of Locked On Raptors for Wednesday, May 23rd. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of LockedOnRaptors.com and RaptorsHQ.com. You, of course, can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. Make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. You got Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd, Locked On NBA with David Locke, and then a whole bunch of other hosts who host daily shows on that podcast. And you can find them all together, neatly organized for your listening pleasure on the Locked On NBA iTunes channel. It's a great resource for all the local angles and all the stories around the league. If you want to hear about the Rockets or the Warriors or the Cavs or the Celtics, find the corresponding Locked On show and get some conference finals talk into your ears. And if you find a host that you like and dig and want to support, subscribe, rate, review on iTunes to their shows. It's the best way to support all the shows. It's very easy. And if you do that for Locked On Raptors, I will be forever indebted to you. It's very easy. It takes 5 seconds. It's free to do. Just go on there, fire up the iTunes login, whatever, and just leave a nice few words and 5 stars. It's very helpful. And thanks in advance for doing that. All right, on today's show, we are continuing our postseason player reviews. We started yesterday with OG Anunoby. It was very happy, a jubilant occasion with Matt Shantz. It was a good time. It's about to get sad, though, because we are going to the absolute opposite end of the spectrum for today's episode. And to join me to talk about the 2017-18 season of Serge Ibaka, it's my co-host in the Hoop Talks podcast. It's Mitch Robson. How's it going, man?
What up, what up?
Oh, you're at the Score now, too. I always forget that. How's Score life treating you?
Pretty good. I live 5 minutes away, so I can't complain.
You are one of I've never had a Score employee on this podcast before. Actually, it's wow. It's a brand new thing.
I'm breaking a barrier.
No, not quite. we're gonna talk about Serge Ibaka. So we're probably gonna get nice and sad here. We'll just kind of dive into his regular season and his playoffs and stuff that he did well. Well, that'll be probably shorter than the stuff he didn't do very well. And I think probably the main thing with Serge is kind of looking ahead to the future and what he's actually going to, you know, be and contribute to the team and whether or not his contract is movable. All that really fun, not at all sad discussion of Serge Ibaka, who just like, I don't know, 13, 14, 16 months ago when the Raptors traded for him, that's probably more accurate. It was very exciting. It was a positive experience. Everyone was happy. Everyone was feeling it. Everyone figured that like Terrence Ross in a first-round pick was more than enough to give up to, or the perfect amount to give up for Serge Ibaka, a guy who filled the hole at the power forward spot that the Raptors have had since Chris Bosh left. And this season, it didn't go quite as well. So just to sort of recap his year, he played 76 games, started all 76, 12.6 points, 6.3 boards, 1.3 blocks, 0.8 assists. He shot 36% from three, which feels kind of low, but feels kind of high, actually, but that's I guess he'll take it. His lowest three-point percentage since 2012-13, actually. Actually, that's a lie. 2015-16, he shot 32%. But either way, not one of his better shooting seasons in recent years. And just like generally kind of was just kind of going through it all season long, I guess. Mitch, though, it wasn't all bad. There were some good things.
There was game one against the Wizards. There was like, you know, there, I think he played well. Did they, in one game against the Cavs, didn't he play pretty well?
I know he missed the first game against the Cavs.
Yeah, it was a home game against one of the better teams. It was either the Cavs or like maybe the Rockets or something. I don't know. But he played well in one big game.
Yeah, well, he had a stretch. He did have a stretch. Pretty much his entire December was really good. it was, though. Like, he was, like, kind of iffy to start the year. He had a nice second game of the year. He had, like, 21 points on 7-12 shooting against the Sixers. He was a plus 23 in that game. And then kind of like the rest of the team, he kind of went through it on that road trip a little bit, like the season opening road trip. He wasn't bad. Like, he was fine. He put up some numbers, had a couple of nice shooting nights, not really any glaringly awful shooting nights aside from 1-2-of-8 night, but that was against the Wizards. But like, it never really kind of clicked, and like the starting five struggled until OG got inserted into the starting five, and then that was around the time where Serge kind of found his mojo a little bit again. And to start December, I mean, just a run of games, 15 points, 19 points, 21, 20, 17, 21, 18, 24. Like he cracked double digits in every game that month except for one. And
Before you continue, that streak of games against the Grizzlies, Kings, Clippers, Suns, Nets, and Hornets.
Fair points all. But like he shot well in those games. I don't know. I didn't think he was pretty good in that month. Like he was useful. He had the chase down blocks. He had a 6-block game against the Nets. Like he was active and spry. It was actually kind of in line with the time where he missed a few games with that knee soreness or whatever the hell that was. He missed like 3 or 4 games because of that. But like I don't know. I thought he was like kind of figuring it out, and then January came around. And it just kind of tailed off a little bit. And there weren't that many very good games. He had a couple stretches here and there, but it never really strung together like a couple good weeks or a good month again. And by the end of the season, I was like kind of questioning what he was going to be able to do come playoff time because he just didn't look right. He, you know, the Raptors didn't really rest him down the stretch except for one game against Detroit. And I thought like they should have been sitting him like every other game because he just like didn't look like he had the legs. He didn't look like he had the bounce. But then he comes out to start the playoffs in game one, and like here's the thing that I liked about Serge's season is that he did enough to keep me believing that he was going to be fine come playoff time, because like he did this kind of last year and has always just been a very good playoff player. And even last year against the Bucks, like you could argue he was probably the best Raptors player in that series start to finish. Like he was excellent, and like everything he did between defending Giannis and shooting threes and not making dumb decisions with the ball, like it all kind of worked, and it seemed like the guy that the Raptors were missing. And like it was a shame that Kyle Lowry wasn't totally right in those playoffs, and that kind of sucked any sort of life away from that starting five or just sort of the chemistry that he might have been able to build with Serge. But like coming into this year, I kind of had high hopes, and then you know, game one against the Wizards happens again. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's just been waiting. Like, he doesn't really care about the regular season. He's a guy who's been in some wars and doesn't really, you know, want to play the Nuggets on a Wednesday, and is instead sort of preserving himself for the playoffs. And then he goes 23-12 on 8 of 11 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep, 2 blocks in that game one against the Wizards. And it was like, all right, Serge is here. And then he was pretty good again in game two, despite not a great shooting night, but he was excellent defensively, if I recall. And he was on the floor in that fourth quarter run where they went small around Serge, and they like completely blew open the game in the fourth. And then after that, he just disappeared. And that was kind of the story of Serge's playoffs, right? Like that. After that, he was just nothing. And he ended up losing his job a little bit. Didn't start in game three against the Cavs. Ultimately, that was like his second best game of the playoffs, oddly enough. But I don't know. The good stuff definitely was outweighed by the bad. But was there anything good that you saw from Serge this season, aside from like a couple games here and there? Like what did he do to sort of... I don't know. If there's reason for hope for Serge going forward, what is it?
He's very much like a significant other that just consistently lets you down for multiple things, but then just does enough right to keep you hanging on. Like, ends up doing something really nice for your birthday and getting your friends, like, on a surprise party.
Cooks you a nice meal. Yeah.
Yeah. They just, whenever you're on the ropes and you're about to say, I'm out on you, needs to be done, he comes in. Gives you a pretty decent performance, plays solid defense, knocks down some big threes late in the game, and you're like, all right, this is the guy that we loved, this is the guy that we traded for, this is who we want. And then he finally cratered in the playoffs and just missed all of your dates and stopped texting you. And yeah, I don't really know if there's a sense to rebound here, because the public has got to be so out on him, and he's got to be down on himself, no? Like,
yeah.
You've got, I don't know how in that final game he had 18 minutes. Like, how do you come back after the next summer and be like, unless you have a drastic overhaul, I don't really know what's going to change for him.
Yeah, I think the issues that Serge presents are kind of sort of core to why people, I think, are probably going to be pretty upset when the core is run back for next season. Like, DeMar and Kyle, like, we've talked about their limitations to death on this podcast, but Serge was always supposed to be that guy who could kind of raise the ceiling of those guys and sort of just make it a bit more of a potent unit. And it just, he wasn't that guy. He was supposed to be the third best player on this team. He's paid as such. And you could argue that he was like the seventh or eighth best player on this team, maybe even worse at times. Like, it just never really came together. The thing is, like, Serge, on his good nights, is the third best player on the team. And, like, you can see when he's clicking just sort of how much the Raptors work. And, you know, the things that he does are stuff that you still want from a big man. Like, he's still a good shooter. As much as he was cold in the playoffs, like, I trust the full season sample. Like, he's still a 36% three-point shooter. He still hits that mid-range jumper. And, like, that was kind of a nice weapon for him in a couple of the games in the playoffs. In the short roll, when, you know, teams would send extra attention, they would trap DeMar and Kyle. You know, Serge was able to hit that, you know, 18-footer with pretty, you know, regular consistency, which was nice. And, like, that's a nice little weapon to have. And he even kind of, I thought, at times improved as a passer this season as well. Like, he's not great, and I think a big reason why he, in game two of the Cavs series, completely lost his job and was forced to the bench and got benched in the second half, like, a big reason for that was whenever the ball came to him, he just had no idea what to do with it. He would get it, he would just sort of stand there, it would be glued to his hands for 20 seconds, and he wouldn't be able to make a play. And that ultimately, like, you need to have some sort of playmaking from your bigs, especially on a team, you know, helmed by Kyle and DeMar, who receive a lot of attention come playoff time. And just in a situation against the Cavs where you're going to have weaknesses exposed. And, like, it just, he, as much as I say he improved as a passer, there were still 34 games this year where he didn't have a single assist. And, like,
that, I mean, he couldn't even catch the ball.
Yeah. Like, he had the Biombo hand sometimes. It was exhausting. Yeah.
And it got to the point where it's just like, why is this guy even playing at all? Like, why? Yeah. And I mean, Dwayne's kind of hamstrung for options, but, like, I think you almost had to, like, pull him out of those games earlier. And I know you don't, it's easy to say that revisionist history, but, like, I don't know, would putting a Siakam in there from the get-go would have been any worse? I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, is that Serge is the only guy among the big man group who provides both offense and defense, right? Like, Jonas was a better defender this season, but we saw the limitations of the defense you have to craft around him against the Cavs, and he just wasn't right. A good defensive option in that series. Pascal is a terrifying defender and, like, just screams up and down the court, but his half-court game is still something, at least something to be desired, right? And there's still some work to be done there, and the fact that he can't shoot is a problem, and teams treated him as such. And, like, Jakob Poeltl, for some reason, forgot how to play entirely in the playoffs. He had a couple nice games here and there, a couple nice halves here and there, but overall, like, he doesn't have enough offensive juice, I don't think, and frankly, not enough defense in the playoffs either to keep him out there. And, like, Serge, like it's like you were saying, like, he does enough from time to time to make you sort of not only believe, but also feel like you kind of depend on it, because he is, you know, on a team that lacks a lot of two-way options, the fully engaged, like, not even like Oklahoma City Serge, like, just like even regular season Serge this year, he was fine. Like, he wasn't great by any means, but he also was fine. And, like, fine Serge is pretty much all I think the Raptors needed. But when he's a complete liability on both ends, you are really strapped for options, because he's your only two-way guy, and he sort of papers over a lot of things. And lineups featuring him, as much as he was an issue at times this year, like, a lot of the lineups with him in them were still among the best Raptors looks. Like, the Siakam-Ibaka front court barely played, but it was effective, and it was what kind of got the Raptors back into Game 3. And, like, the starting five with Ibaka in there, like, it was one of the better five-man units in the entire NBA this season once OG came in there. So, like, as much as he provides just, like, nightly anguish when he does dumb shit, like, he is very vital to what the Raptors want to do. And just when you get absolutely nothing from him, you're really hamstrung, because the roster, I just don't think, A, was just, like, old enough and experienced and developed enough to sort of paper over the holes that Serge being an absolute zero sort of present.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where you're stuck at now, is with the way the cap situation is, there's no easy way to kind of pivot away from him being a crucial part of this team if they want to make another playoff run. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know what you need to do. Do you just try to unload him? But then you're going to have to give away assets. And with the way this team's kind of barren for assets now that aren't actual physical players, you really have no easy way to unload him and create any kind of flexibility. So you're just kind of hoping to buy in that he resembles any kind of consistent form, whether that's, you don't expect him, like you said, to be at that peak like he was in a game one against the Wizards where he's getting 24-12, but just a consistent product where you know you're going to get the couple threes, the couple blocks, the rebounding, at least like passing it within the flow of the offense every night.
Yeah, and I thought like his defense this season was pretty good. I'll give him that. Like, there were nights where it wasn't there, but like I thought overall, like he had those chase down blocks, and like those were usually a telltale sign of whether or not he was going to have a good game. And like even in the playoffs, he had 4 blocks in game 3 against the Cavs. He had 5 in games 1 and 2 combined against the Wizards. Like he had nights where you could kind of see the old surge, right? And like sort of what makes him a useful player and sort of a perfect big to have in this in the NBA. I also think, I don't know, I feel like with some time and maybe just like improved rebounding chops from the like of, you know, Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby, for example, like I do think the surge at 5 thing can work. It didn't really work this season because I just think they were too outgunned rebounding wise. But even then, like they closed a lot of games early in the season with surge at the 5. And while the crunch time offense wasn't particularly good, I'm not sure how much of a role he had to play in that. I think a lot of that was just like the way they were playing in general, and there was a lot of just ISO stuff. I don't think Surge has a lot of sort of burden to bear for what happened to the crunch time offense early in the season. And I thought like in those situations, I remember looking at the numbers early on in the year, and like his defensive rebounding numbers as the 5 closing games were pretty comparable to Jonas's when he played center. And so he was doing the job that you needed him to do in those situations. But like they didn't go to that all that often. I think Jonas playing better kind of kept that from happening as well. But now you're in this situation where you're kind of stuck with a pretty crowded front court in a league that is skewing towards wings and not really all that many options of going small, because you just need to get guys minutes, and like politics will play because both Jonas and Serge are well paid. And like you can't just not play one of those guys, and I don't think you can move one of those guys to the bench either. Maybe you can. Maybe you can convince Jonas that a bench role works for him, and maybe you bring in Poeltl. But like then the Poeltl Ibaka front court was garbage all season long, so I don't know. I'm not sure you want to do that. I don't know. I think there's a way in which Ibaka can exist on this team as like a full-time 5, whether it's off the bench or as a starter. But I think just with the way the roster is constructed, I'm not sure you can really do that. So then you get into the question of like, you mentioned, do you just offload Serge and just sort of cut your losses and say, all right, like we'll attach something to get rid of him? But they already did that with Damari Carroll last summer, and like it didn't work out. And you would rather have, yes, it was just the 29th overall pick, but you'd like to have that right now if you're the Raptors, whether it's to offload Serge or to make your own pick, because they've been so good drafting in that part of the draft.
Which is a real shame too on Damari Carroll, because if he would have been on the team this year, that would have fit his game so much better.
Yeah, it almost feels like the culture reset thing like didn't really take into account that he would kind of fit into the new style. Obviously, the contract played, and you had to sign Serge and stuff. But what's that, sorry?
Yeah, he was obviously not in a good place with Kyle and Damar and how the team kind of treated him, and he probably wanted out anyways. But yeah, if they could have stuck that out, I mean, yeah, that would have. Interesting, because then you can definitely go with, if you want to have Serge at the 5 and you still had a Damari Carroll type to play at the 4, that's I'd probably not really make a difference against LeBron, yeah. But it's at least an interesting look to think about.
I guess for the Raptors, it was kind of one or the other, right? Or like,
yeah,
you either keep Carroll and Tucker, and that cuts into how much time you're giving to Pascal and OG and stuff like that, or you just bring Serge and then just skew young for the rest of the roster. And ultimately, I think the way they did it worked out. And like, I don't know. What was your response last summer when Serge was signed to the contract? Because like I understood it, and I didn't really have that. Like, yes, it was expensive, but they kept it to 3 years. It wasn't like a crazy long deal or anything like that. And like what he showed in the playoffs last year encouraged me big time. And just like I thought him not being in the garbage hole that is Orlando was pretty good for him last year. And like I still think there's something there. I really do. And like I'm probably going to get burned by it, but I think to look at like the 6 or 7 games in the playoffs where he was absolute garbage and unplayable, like I'm not sure that is the best sort of indicator of what surge the player is. And like if that happens in the playoffs again, yes, that's a problem. But maybe a year from now, you're more sort of equipped to deal with that. Whether if Pascal's a little bit better or OG's a little bit better, or I don't know, but. Like I Serge is going to be on this team next year. I think. Like, would you agree with that? And I asked you a question, then just went on a tangent. But like, contract and like, yeah, like, do you think, like, what was your response when the contract happened? Because the revisionist history has been all like, oh man, what a garbage decision by the Raptors. But like at the time, it made a lot of sense.
Well, and last year, I think I was way more concerned from a fan's perspective of I hope they don't end this team now.
Yeah,
and like. Because, yeah, you got swept by the Cavs, but the year before that, they had, like, pushed them to – I guess push is a lightly used term, but, like, they won the 2 home games. So, you kind of thought, like, okay, they bring Serge back, they bring Kyle back, maybe they get a couple pieces, and then we can actually play against the Cavs and at least make it a competitive series. So, I mean, it wasn't like, yeah, like you said, it's not crazy expensive. It's obviously not cheap. Mm-hmm. But he's a guy that has that reputation. Like, he was an all-star. So you're not going to get him cheap. And I think that the fact that it was only 3 years with the Lowry contract, too, they kind of have this defined window of, we're going to use these three guys as our core. We're going to go at it for three more years. And then after that, if we tear it down, we tear it down. You can't really – it's easy to judge a guy based on six games and say that contract is a complete overpay. But then, like you're saying, you're just completely saying the playoffs are all that matters and the regular season is irrelevant. So I don't know. I think you kind of have to stick it out now. And it's – what's the point of really trading him when you only have Lowry for the two more years? Like, does taking Ibaka off this team and getting back someone that's probably, I guess you could say, a lesser player, and you had to give up more just to get that, is it really worth it?
The other thing, too, I guess, is, like, I don't think the option is there to, like, get rid of Jonas and then just say, all right, Serge is our full-time five. Because as I alluded to,
I don't think he's going to want to do that either.
He's not a good rebounder. He has some issues there. And it's better as a small spurts kind of lineup. And it's super effective in those small spurts, but it has to be, like, matchup-based, I think.
Yeah, if he had to bang against traditional centers or whatever teams are using as their five-man most nights, I think that would wear him down even more.
Yeah.
Than he can kind of do now and get hit on guys who aren't really driving and attacking him in the paint and trying to bang bodies for rebounds. So I also don't think if they told him, like, we need you to be a five, he could say sure, but I don't – the kind of personality it seems like he has is very kind of reactionary, wears his emotions on his sleeve, and I don't know if that would exactly go over that well.
Yeah. So, like, the whole Jonas thing, like, I think Josh Lewinberg was talking about this on the radio a couple days ago, and, like, if you're going to trade someone from the core – Jonas is probably the guy because he played well enough this season that you're probably going to get reasonable value back for him, even though that's tricky because the center market has been so stagnant for the last, you know, couple of years. Like, you might not get anything back, but I think the way he played, he only has 2 years left on his deal.
You probably wouldn't have to attach something you like to get rid of him.
Absolutely, yeah. That's probably the thing, right? Like, if you trade DeMar, which, like, I'm not against the idea of trading DeMar, but it has to be for something, like, that's actually going to keep your team good. Because I think there's a real, you know, you could actually be a pretty good team next season if you keep Kyle, trade DeMar for parts, and sort of run it back with a different sort of look. Then you risk Kyle sort of breaking down again and all that stuff. But, like, that's other stuff we'll deal with. But, like, you can't... If you trade Jonas, which seems like, again, the most, not even just like the most likely or the best move, just like the easiest move if you're trying to move salary to, say, keep Fred or whatever, and that's, I think, probably the biggest reason why they would try to move somebody at this point. Like, yeah. I don't think they'll have a problem paying the tax, but who knows? I'm not in their pockets. But, like, if they're trying to move a big contract to sort of free up some tax room, Jonas is the guy. But if that happens, there's that much more sort of burden placed upon Ibaka's shoulders to not suck ass next year, and, like, that's dangerous. And like, even if you say, all right, we'll just start Yak, like, again, the Yak Ibaka front court has been bad. Like, you can't, like, the Ibaka Siakam front court, I have high hopes for that, but again, more of as a small unit type of thing. So I think, again, the most likely thing is they just run it back, keep Serge, keep Jonas, pay a lot of money, probably keep Fred because offer sheets never happen unless it's the Nets, and the Nets have D'Angelo Russell and Jeremy Lin and stuff, so maybe they're not in the market for that. And so, like, I think they're probably going to be very expensive next season. Serge is going to have the same sort of responsibility to be the starting four and, like, figure into some small ball five lineups, I guess. But, like, yeah, like, this is not... It's not changing, I don't think. Like, what's the scenario you see in which the Raptors end up being able to move Serge? And, like, is there a team even that you could see, like, reasonably talking themselves into? Maybe not even just, like, a team that's taking on salary, but just, like, a team that could say, all right, we're a Serge Ibaka away from being good.
I don't even know if it would be a Serge, unless he plays well next year in some team that's dying to get into a playoffs. Like, say Phoenix has some early success, or one of these teams near the top, or Memphis maybe, like, just a team that really needs to get into the playoffs because due to their fan base, their market, whatever, thinks that, hey, we need a stretch four. We've seen it from him before. We'll take it on. Sure, why not? I think if you do move him, it's not going to be during the summer because you can kind of sell him better off at the deadline next year when he's a UFA in 2020.
Yeah.
And then you're at least on the team's only renting for a year, technically. But I, I think, yeah, as of right now, there's no real plans for them to be able to unload him. I think if anything, like you said, it's either JV or Norm is the guy that they move along.
And, like, I'd be hesitant to move Norm, too, because, like, wings are important. We've seen it these entire playoffs, and, like, there's still got to be something there from him. Like, he's not as bad as he was this season. I don't believe that.
No, he was kind of a victim of circumstance with just the way it came together and getting buried in the rotation with that injury and then the emergence of Fred, right? So,
and OG, like, I don't think anyone expected OG to be this good, as we talked about yesterday. But was, in your estimation, was Serge the biggest reason why the Raptors couldn't do shit against the Cavs? Because for me, I think he is.
No.
No?
You would say yes?
I think he...
I think it's maybe two for me.
What was number one?
DeMar.
Yeah, I guess, but like there
and
were games
the,
where
the,
they...
The team just kind of absolutely falling apart as soon as things started to go wrong.
Yeah.
Collectively.
For me, I think it was Serge not being able to play the five and guard Kevin Love. Like, we all thought he was probably going to be able to do, and we talked all season about the Serge-Pascal front court kind of saving that for the Cavs series, and that being sort of the one little antidote you could throw at the Cavs and say, like, all right, you're going to go small, we're going to do this, and we're going to match you offensively and probably be better defensively than you are. And that just didn't work out. He was not able to do that. And like, part of that is maybe on Casey for starting Jonas and playing him against Kevin Love, and he just didn't have the chops to sort of guard the sort of the Korver Love screening actions they were running and all that stuff. But there's just Serge was so necessary to what the Raptors were supposed to do in this series, and for him to just completely disappear, there was no recovering from that because no player could replicate his skill set. And like the just sort of the difference between peak Serge and really bad Serge is so vast and just like dictates the outcome of the Raptors and just sort of how the Raptors look and how potent they look so much that I don't think you could handle having bad Serge in that series. As bad as DeMar was late in the series, especially getting benched in game four, like I think Serge being unplayable for all but one half was sort of the bigger thing that kind of screwed the Raptors, because like you needed him so badly because you knew Jonas was going to struggle with Love and you knew the Cavs were going to go small, and it killed them. It absolutely killed them. And they got by in game one a little bit, even though Serge was pretty bad again, because Kevin Love missed shots. But like he had nothing. And I think for me, it's the biggest reason they lost that series. And not even that they lost, that they weren't close. Like was a key to that. And like, that's why you acquire that dude. And it just didn't work out that way. And I can't really point blame to anyone else as much as I can Serge. And like, maybe Serge is the reason Dwayne Casey doesn't have a job right now. I really do think like you could... I really don't think it's crazy to say that. Like, he was so bad and so unplayable. Like, getting benched for the second half of game two, like, it just... it's inexcusable, man. Like, you can't be the third highest played player on a team and be unplayable like that, especially when your skills are so required for a certain matchup. Like, against the Wizards, maybe you could have dealt with Serge not being as good because you can just sort of go small around Jonas or whatever, but against the Cavs, he was so necessary to that matchup and just laid an egg, and I think he's the biggest reason they lost.
Totally. I mean, it's a very compelling case right there, and I mean, if they ever want to be considered serious contenders, which I don't even know if that's possible at this point due to all the embarrassments they've had, they need Serge to play at not quite all-star level, but very high starter level, and I just don't know if he's ever going to be able to get back to that.
It doesn't even need to be high starter level. Again, what he did in the regular season is fine. Like, could have been useful against the Cavs. He was just so much less than that in the playoffs, and I don't know what to make of it. Maybe he was hurt. I don't know. But we should probably leave it there, I suppose. Like, so, last thing, I suppose, percentage-wise, what do you think are the odds he's back on the Raptors next season?
I'm going to say, for the beginning of the year, I will go between like 80 and 90%. And then within the season, there's probably a decent chance. Depending on how the season goes, but I don't really know at this point what Masai in the front office would consider like any reason to like make a deal, right? Because like after you go number one and lose the way you did, what do you consider like a point where you're at the point to sell or whether you want to buy? But I think there's a non-zero chance he could get moved next year during the season.
I think there's a 95% chance he's back for the 2017-18 year, and like next summer is probably the time.
18-19 year.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. 18-19. Yeah, yeah. I think next summer is probably the time where he gets moved, if at all, because that's the pivot point for this Raptors core as it is, right? Like,
right.
That, like, that's the other thing, too, is we were supposed to face this surge question next year after this year was a bit of a sort of developmental and sort of, you know, maybe don't be quite as good as they were this year type of season. But all these questions got accelerated because they were as good as they were in the regular season and as bad as they were in the playoffs, and that's just sort of the nature of the beast, I suppose. But
what about Ibaka for Biombo straight up?
Oh my god. I would rather Serge Ibaka, thank you.
At least Bismack is more lovable.
Yeah, although the Vice Sports thing,
that was cool.
It spoke to me a little bit. I think he ate
too much, and he was just lugging around.
I think he didn't have enough fumboa. He needed some more.
That's the next Sasha deep dive.
He ran out of it in games 2, 3, and 4 in Cleveland.
And that was the drop-off.
Yes. His worst plus-minus of the series was a minus 12 against the Cavs in game 4. That, I think, is entirely sort of an indicator that the fumboa had run out. The leftovers were eaten. He had leftovers for game 3, and that was it.
Or whatever R&B singer he was Snapchatting cut him off. That's also very much an option.
Yeah. So to sum up, Serge was maddeningly inconsistent and terrible in the playoffs. He's probably coming back next season, and there's nothing you can really do about it. And he is going to remain a bit of a clog to the front court rotation. Good times.
Buy the Serge stock low.
Yeah.
Then, you know, there's nowhere to go but up.
You know he's going to come out in game 1 of the regular season next year and have like 21, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks. He'll shoot 6 of 8 from 3 and he'll be like, "Oh, he's back." And then he'll go for he'll miss the next game because his knee hurts or something.
Yeah. If you could put a futures bet on that right now, I would put some money down.
All right, man. I think that's probably going to do it. Mitch, do you have anything you'd like to plug? Anything like that?
No, just download the Score app. We got fun people writing stuff and keeping you updated on all the news. So download it. Pay my bills, please.
Shouts to you for ensuring that Blake Murphy got the shout for reporting the Jerry Stackhouse news. Appreciate it.
Right?
That. Yeah,
felt that was important in my alert. Shout out one of our own.
Yep. And yeah, for me, just Twitter at Woodley Sean. Listen to yesterday's podcast with Matt Shantz about OG Anunoby. Much happier than this one was. And I don't know, I should probably write some stuff soon, but maybe I won't. We'll see.
It's summer.
Yeah, there's not even any draft stuff to do, right? So I don't even know what the hell to write. But there will be some stuff at some point, I'm sure. So stay tuned for
the Raptors Summer League team projection you can do.
No. I'm good. All set. I have a vacation booked from July 4th to the 15th. I'm going to miss all the good shit. So that'll be...
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Detox?
I might have to have someone take over the podcast during that time, but...
Ooh.
Yeah. Find a little...
All you aspiring journalists out there.
I mean, it'll probably be one of the regular co-hosts, but... yeah. That's going to do it, I think, man. I think we have covered everything about Serge Ibaka that there is to cover. We'll be back again Thursday with another episode. We're talking to Vivek Jacob. We're going to talk about Fred VanVleet, another happy one. So we'll sandwich the bad in between two good. And so, yeah, stay tuned for that. And we'll talk to you next time on Locked on Raptors.